afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today. Well, who doesn't, if you call yourself a Christian, I should say, who doesn't want an intimate walk with the Lord? But then you just look around at the rat race culture and the thousand messages screaming at you. It seems hard to find time and space to get away, to hear from God, to hear what he has to say. But he is talking. The Bible says daily the heavens pour forth speech. You know, the word does say that we would hear the Lord say, this is the way, walk in it. He's speaking. But are we listening? Well, my guest today is Paul Pastor, and he joins me to talk about another volume of one of his devotionals titled The Listening Day. And we've got three copies to give away. If you're just in that place where you want to quiet your heart and ponder the things of God, this is very kind of a contemplative type of devotional. Email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. livethepromise@myfaithradio.com, and it's titled The Listening Day. I'll get him on in just a moment. Also want you to know, second half hour of today's show, I'll be opening up the phone lines, taking your calls, and two questions for you. One is, what's the Lord taught you this past year? Two is, if you could have a Christmas miracle, what would that look like? And you can call anonymously, but I'll set you up here at the bottom of the hour, just letting you know about that and looking forward to hearing from you. Another quick announcement is next Thursday, December 21st, is our great giveaway on Live the Promise. And this is going on right now, where we are hoping and praying to mobilize thousands of you to engage in random acts of kindness. And love it if you could get out of your comfort zone a little bit, where you really initiate something and engage with God. And I just want you to picture thousands of people turning outside their comfort zone, stepping up, stepping in, attending to needs around them. And just imagine God's heart of watching the ripple effect of all of these people. And I pray you'll join me and not consider someone else will do this. Well, on Thursday, December 21st, we'll open up the phone lines for both hours and take your calls, hear your stories. Everybody who gets on the air will get some Christmas candy bars and some books off of our Faith Radio shelf. And our two most inspiring stories will get a great giveaway gift basket filled with books from our Faith Radio shelf, Christmas goodies. And each of those baskets will have a value about $100. And it's just our way of saying thank you for being kind. Thank you for being the hands and feet of Jesus in the community this season. Hope you'll engage with us and looking forward to hearing from you next Thursday. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Paul J. Pastor is a writer living in Oregon's Columbia River Gorge. He and his wife, Emily, serve as deacons of spiritual formation at the Theophilus Church in Portland, Oregon. And we're glad to have him back with us today. Paul, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having me, Susie. I love to be on your show.
Well, looking forward to the conversation. And you know this because you've been on before. We always love to start by talking scripture. And I think I have this verse right. 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. Is that one? Is that the passage you chose?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, can you read that?
Sure. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Talk about that passage, if you would.
I've just been haunted in such a good way, haunted by the idea of reconciliation. And, you know, as humans, we always put the burden of reconciliation, it seems, on our enemy, on the person who we feel like has offended us. But God just turns that whole thing around. And even though the fault and the break in our relationship with God is on our end, in Jesus, he continually turns us towards himself and just really turns the tables on that. And so I see, you know, in such a divided world, it seems like we're living in these days, such an example in God's own ministry of reconciliation that we as Christians can learn from and emulate in really reaching out in a unitive peacemaking way those around us.
So good. I mean, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He initiated, he activated, he engaged. And you're so right. We stand, we cross our arms, and we have a certain criteria before we'll let someone in or forgive them or consider them, you know, worthy of our time. And that's opposite, isn't it, completely of how Jesus went about things.
Yeah, completely opposite.
Hmm. Well, I would love to know, you've been on before, so you've talked a bit about your faith journey, but I'm just sort of curious, even before we get into the content of your book, when you walk through your faith journey as even a young adult, if there were times where maybe you questioned your faith, questioned God, what kind of questions you had about God and how he answered those for you?
Yeah, that's such a good question. Actually, just this past week, I was teaching at a small Bible school here in Oregon, and I had somebody, one of the students, come up and ask me, you know, how do you process and wrestle with your doubts? And my answer is becoming increasingly complex and yet increasingly simple at the same time. I'm learning to see God through my doubts and not to see my doubts or my struggle as the enemy of my faith, but really as a deep, deep, deep activator of it. Because the truth is, you don't doubt things or question things that you don't deeply care about. And if our faith is ever to be more than just a rational exercise, if it's ever to be more than just bare propositions, you have to start wrestling. And the Bible just gives such beautiful categories for us to think about that. The best is really the book of Job. And it strikes me and really struck me as a younger man, as I was coming out of seminary and having my own sort of dark night of the soul and wilderness moment. It strikes me that Job's doubts in the Bible are not rational at all. They're completely relational. They're not about an argument for the proof of God. They're about whether or not God could be good, allowing into his life the things that he had experienced. And so I'm just gradually learning to hold both my faith and my doubt with an open hand and just offer it to Jesus, to just visualize myself in the room with Jesus and say, hey, if this is faith or if this is doubt, either way, I give it to you. Speak to me through your word and just let me have the real relationship, whether that's peaceful or whether that's wrestling with you like Jacob did. Just let me relate to you in a way that's real.
That's just beautiful, because then you're not afraid. You're not putting so much weight on the doubt that it, tips the scale for you, so to speak, that you have enough confidence in God that he can, he's where you want to go with your doubts, trusting that he will put things right somehow, you know?
So true. And, you know, faith is really God's work. We partner with him in it. We can choose. We choose to hope. We choose to embrace. We choose to say yes and acknowledge. So there's a lot that's in our court. But ultimately, it's the Spirit of God's work in us. And so I just think it's a much more complex dance than we really think it is, you know? And I think there's a certain freedom and a certain beauty that comes when you simply say, Lord, just let me be with you, whether that looks like faith or whether that looks like doubt, just let me be with you.
Well, talk about this listening day for those who've not seen the book, want to know, talk about it, because it's pretty unique in the way that it's laid out.
Yeah, absolutely. So for about the past year and a half, I've been involved in a personal journey of work and worship that has really involved me reading the Bible and praying the Bible in a new way. And so that's being published as a multi-volume devotional set to really help people kind of walk with me into what I call the listening day, which is a new type of posture for me to approach the Bible and to approach prayer as a completely relational exercise. So the listening day is really a way of engaging with Scripture, pondering the thoughts of Scripture, and then turning that into a really succinct prayer for each day as a way of living each day in God's presence.
Okay, so just for fun, during our time together here, I want to read some of these. This one is titled Unfold, and the passage is, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. And you write, you walk beneath my hand at every moment of the day, the hand of blessing on you, the hand of love and guidance, the hand of protection and provision, of freshness and revelation, the hand of God. And you will know me to be better than you think. Morning holds promise, for all youth is promise, and for you the morning always breaks, turning to a greater day. I'm the one who promised good to you before the day broke, the one who called you, sought you, set your life beyond the reach of evil. I'm giving my life to you. It unfolds in light, shining, and simplicity. And just talk about that as you've walked with God and started. And I've said this several times on the show, that I am learning he's far better than I know. You know, We struggle to even believe that he's good, but he's even better than we know. And there's something about that that does unfold as we trust him and entrust ourselves to him. So speak to that.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you grow in your faith in Jesus, you sort of find that the more you learn, the less you know.
Amen.
A lyric from U2. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the more you learn, the less you know. And that actually contributes to deepen your faith and not to in any way undermine it. It just contributes to this rich sense of humility that God is up to things that we cannot in any way encompass, that we have so little perspective in the big scheme of things. for even how our own life is going to be shaped, for the meaning of things and the significance of things that we experience. And so that particular meditation unfold was just me really responding to this idea that maybe some of what God was doing in my life was on a dimension and even on a plane that I couldn't fully see or understand. And really all I could do was receive what he had for me in that day, open my hand in this sort of posture of surrender and just receive what he had for me, and then try to live in a way that's resonant with that love.
Hmm. Talking to Paul J. Pastor today, title of his book is The Listening Day, Volume 2, Meditations on the Way. We've got 3 copies, so email if you want in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com, and put The Listening Day in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address. When we come back, we'll walk through some of these other meditations. Just the thought of walking intimately with God, about slowing down, giving him time and space to speak to us, but giving ourselves time and space to ponder what he might be saying and how that, the implications of that in our lives. Boy, it is time to cease striving and better know that he is God, isn't it? We'll be back in a minute. Song. Boy, I pray that you get some time this season to do just that, just to adore, to listen, to wait, to refuse the hustle bustle, you know, so you can run the sacred race, which has a pace to it. There's a rest to it. God loves you. I hear so many Christians say, I can't wait till Christmas season gets over so I can focus back on Jesus. And I get that, but I just think there's time and space right here in the midst of it to say, Lord, you came to me, you came for me. Well, I'm so glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Paul J. Pastor. Title of his book is The Listening Day. We've just got another segment left with him, and so we're walking through this devotional, Meditations on the Way. And here's another one, Paul, titled Run. And the scripture is, God's not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but of one of power, love, and sound mind. And you said, too many people believe that dependence is weakness. Too many believe that the strong go it alone. Too many think that those who run to me are fools or cowards, only good for mockery. The truth is very simple. To me come all who know their neediness, and they find perfect safety. In my name, they lose everything, but find they have gained the world. In my name, fools who know they are foolish receive all wisdom. And then you're right. You mean I have to get over myself? Don't you long to? In my name, fear is banished, and the weak are lifted high. Love flourishes, potent and good, fierce and unstoppable, unopposable. Yes, run to me if you are afraid. Run to me if you're exhausted, if you're failing, if you're losing, if you're sick. Run to me if you're hounded. Run to me if you're harassed. Run to me if you're lost with nowhere to turn. You must leave behind all you think makes you strong, trusting in nothing you have and everything I am. Only fools refuse refuge, and that's a dangerous pride. Run, run, come, come. Lord, you give perfect refuge and protection to your people. Help me see that nothing's too big or small to bring to you, trusting for your deliverance. I love this one, Paul, probably because it so speaks to me from this last year. Something I've learned is that anything in our lives that keeps us dependent is really a gift, even if it doesn't feel that way, because dependence is our best place. But you, is from your heart, speak to that if you would.
Mm. You know, there's just such a myth that we drink with the tap water as Americans, as people in the West, as, you know, just with our modern culture of consumerism. We just think of our lives as something, we think of good in our life as something to be totally independent. It's good for us to not have to lean on anyone, to not have to need anyone, to not have to depend on anyone. And that's just not the way that God structured human existence to work. We are made as creatures with needs. We are made as creatures who need to be in close reciprocal relationships with other people. And really all of that is meant to image our relationship with God. And so when we run away from the truth of our dependence upon God, upon other people, upon the community of faith, we really are running away from reality into a fiction. We're beginning to live a fiction. And fictions are great in the movies, but they just don't live out well. And, you know, sooner or later, that fiction's going to come crashing down. And so it's so much better to surrender that and just acknowledge the fact that none of us came into this world through our own choice, through our own volition, or being in any way independent. We will not leave the world that way. And so we need to understand that our lives are lived in a healthy and flourishing dependence if we run to God for that type of refuge.
Boy, that's beautiful. Here's another one, a give, a take. The passage is, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be exploited, but he emptied himself. And you're right, let stronger shoulders bear the weight that bends your back. The world is not your burden, nor is history, nor is your own life. Carry rest instead. And then you're right, Lord, help me to choose it. I'm so tired of being crushed. And then you're right, why must you suffer what Christ has already suffered? A give, a take. The trade is wise for you. Peace is a burden of the proper weight. Silence and solace, those are good for you to bear. Empty you must be of your own pride. Empty you must become of your own need to control. Empty you must be of your terror that keeps reaching for the wheel and longs to snatch the map from me. And the prayer is, Holy Lord, you're strong enough to carry all trouble. Help me to put down the burdens I'm not meant to carry, knowing that you put little on me besides trusting you, Jesus. Let your rest be enough for today. You know, I know this is true for me, Paul, we bring so much undue stress upon ourselves by carrying things we were never intended to carry. What do you say?
Oh, it's so true. I'm just standing here grinning from ear to ear hearing you read that. Just thinking of the freedom that comes even into my own heart as I, you know, sort of hear Jesus' teaching of, you know, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He's not saying you're free from all obligation. There's obligation there, but it's doable. It's easy. And it's just so easy to carry things that we don't need to carry, to bear things that we don't need to bear, instead of allowing him to really carry the burden that is so crushing and feels so crushing of the suffering of life and sort of all those realities of life as it is. But man, it's hard to live. So even as I'm smiling and grinning and feeling the leap of freedom in my heart, I also think, wow, am I getting better at that? Am I growing in my capacity to give those burdens back to him? It's really easy to think I am, but it's hard to remember to do that in the day to day.
How do you do that, Paul? I mean, I know for me, I couldn't do that if I didn't have regular time with the Lord. You know, it's my reset every single day. And even at night, I close my day with regrouping and praying again. But I just know even in the middle of the day when I can feel in my spirit when I'm on the rumble strips, when I'm kind of like about to go into the ditch, so to speak, and I need to pull it back and entrust my soul once again. But do you have a certain practice or just a way to get yourself back into that light and easy yoke place?
Yeah, I'm still learning. I really, really am still learning. You know, I love the language of practicing the presence of God that Brother Lawrence and a lot of folks kind of from that tradition, the monastic tradition of Christianity, have really cultivated. And that's just the ability to find reminders of God's presence and God's active keeping peace for us all around us in the dishes that we wash, in the drive to work, in the faces of our children. You know, if we ask him with humble hearts, Lord, would you remind me? Would you just show me where I have an opportunity to run to you? Will you show me an opportunity to give you a burden I'm not meant to bear? I think that through his spirit, he really, really will do that. Mm-hmm. But I'm still very much learning.
Yeah.
That that's a habit that needs to be cultivated, and it doesn't always look like something I have full control over. It often looks like him taking the initiative and prompting my heart rather than the reverse.
And even so, the goal is to get with him and get light again, you know. But when you look as we wrap this year and look forward to a next year, what a loftier goal, rather than maybe make a resolution that's not sustainable, to say my lofty goal for 2018 is to get back to the light and easy yoke every time I notice I'm under the weight of the burden, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, how differently would we live this year if that was a goal? We're going to take a hard break here in probably, I don't know, 4 minutes, but I want to read another one and have you comment. And this one's titled A Far Abundance. And the psalm is, they feast on the abundance of your house and you give them a drink from your river of delights. And you're right, night does not mean the sun has ceased shining. Silence doesn't mean all singing has died away. Grief does not mean that happiness is forever lost, any more than the strongest evil proves that the death of righteousness. And then you ask, Lord, what are you saying? Saying that the power of Christ in you will move mountains, and my spirit will make your soul more solid than earth itself, that to eat and drink with me will be life beyond your imagination, that you will live by my will, realities you've never dared to dream. Goodness comes. I do not forget my own. Tears shed into the salt sea may seem lost to the one who weeps, but they're not lost to me. I love that. Father, you are the God of perfect abundance. Help me to know and love you, trusting you with all my life. That's one of my favorites in the book. But speak to it, if you would.
It's so in line with the other things that we've talked about already, the giving up, the surrender, the running to refuge, the rejecting of false burdens upon us. You know, when we do that, when we take half a step towards God, he comes running the rest of the way towards us. And we just find, contrary to appearances, that there is enough in his presence. There's enough of everything that we need in his presence. And it really is contrary to our appearances, or contrary to what we think we could produce. But there's a sensation of simply being connected to an overflowing source of life. And that doesn't happen overnight. Learning to live in that kind of abundant presence is something that I feel personally like I've just barely begun to scratch the surface of. I'm getting better at it. I'm becoming more aware of it. By God's grace, like, I'm learning to be more attentive to the work of the Spirit around me and in the people around me. But it's still such a difficult thing in the day-to-day to simply remember, with all the scarcity that I feel, could characterize my life, or that I feel could characterize this world, the foundation of it is a God whose abundance is far beyond anything I could ask or imagine. And even though I know that in my mind, I'm just beginning to experience that in my heart and in my life. And knowing it that way, knowing it that relational way and not just a rational way, man, it just makes all the difference.
Paul, thank you so much for the time today. It went by so fast. God bless you, and may you have the blessed holiday and Christmas season with your family.
Oh, thank you, Susie. So glad to be back.
Appreciate to chat with you. That's Paul Pastor. The book is The Listening Day. Now the phone lines are open. I want to hear from you. What's God taught you this past year? And what would a Christmas miracle look like for you? 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. And we'll be back in a minute.
I was calling out to you when you said,
thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So with the remaining half hour of the show today, I wanted to do something a little different, kind of like a Talk to Me Thursday conversation, but not exactly. So we've got Cher starting tomorrow, so we'll be recorded the rest of the week. It will be on live for Cher, and then my other shows are recorded. So I wanted to just give you a chance to tell me what you've learned this past year, and also what would a Christmas miracle look like for you? And you can call anonymously, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. What have you learned this year? You know this, when I've said this before, but my family, my hubby and I and our kids and our boys and their wives, we sit around on the eve of Christmas Eve, and we go around and share, and we answer three questions: what the Lord taught you this year, what's your life lesson you're taking into the new year, and what you want to learn from the Lord in the next year. So I'm sort of asking you that. What have you learned this last year? And what's the deepest, most impossible longing of your heart? So I'll go first, but I'd love to hear from you, okay? 877-933-2484. You can also email Susie@myfaithradio.com. What I learned this last year is that breakthrough is painful and it's hard. You always think of breakthrough. I used to think of it almost like a lottery ticket. You know what I mean? You get the call, you get the email, you wake up one day and suddenly you feel all the way better. Like those miracles happen just all of a sudden. And there are suddenly moments, even in scripture, but it takes a long time for it suddenly to happen. But if you look at those suddenly moments, like when Joseph went from the prison to the palace, you know, when Ruth married Boaz, there's these moments, but there's always pain and perseverance that precede the promise and the promotion and the breakthrough. And I just realized, you know, a lot of people deemed 2017 the year of the breakthrough, that many people are going to see breakthrough. And probably 6 months in, I was feeling a little disappointed because there were some things that were still just hard for me. And then I realized the other day is just spending time with the Lord. No way. I've had some significant breakthrough. It's just been hard, you know, pushing through old, hard fears and, you know, deep-rooted lies that are getting embedded in your soul, working at it, doing the inner work so that you can be free and that God can do a new planting. So I'm more encouraged than ever to do the work, do the inner work. When you get triggered, when stuff comes up, go after it. See a counselor or a mentor or, you know, a godly leader, but care enough about your soul to go after it. Because if you imagine your life a soil and you've got deep weeds and you've got boulders, that's just stuff from past hurts. That's lies that you picked up when life lets you down. And when God shows you that, it's because he wants it out of your soil so that you can have a soil that's conducive to growth. So that, you know, as in the parable, the soils, you'll get 30, 60, and even 100 times what was planted in your soil. I guess I'm just more motivated than ever to not be ashamed of the process. Everybody hurts. Everybody has stuff that needs to be delivered and healed and even excised from our lives. And so that's what I've learned. But what my Christmas miracle would look like, knowing this, that, you know, everybody needs healing. Every single one of us needs to be healed from something. We all have some kind of trauma, hurt, disappointment. That would be my Christmas miracle, that my own kids, that my hubby and I, and that all of you, that every single one of us would be so apprehended by God and so aware of his wonder-saving power that somehow our stories and his power would intersect and we would each experience a level of healing we never knew we needed and never thought possible. That would be my Christmas miracle. So what about you? 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. While I wait for your call, I have a couple songs. Hillsongs has got a Christmas album, and there's one song I've had on repeat. It's called Seasons, and it is absolutely amazing. Wright talks about how, like a seed in the snow, I've been buried to grow, and how nature acquaints us with the nature of patience. And it says, though the winter is long, even richer is the harvest that it brings. And though my waiting prolongs, even greater your promise for me is like a seed that I believe that my season will come. And then it goes, Lord, when I think of your love, like the low winter sun, as I gaze, I'm blinded in the light of your brightness, like a fire to the snow, I'm renewed in your warmth. Melt the ice of this wild soul till the barren is beautiful. I can see the promise. I can see the future. You're the God of seasons, and I'm just in the winter. If all I know of harvest is that it's worth my patience, then if you're not done working, well, then, God, I am not done waiting. It just sort of puts the faith in perspective, the perseverance in perspective, that the seed is buried. You might be in a winter season, but if God's not done working, then you're not done waiting, and it'll be worth it in the end. So let's listen to this powerful song. Love to hear from you. 877-933-2484.
Winter comes for us all. Oh, how nature acquaints us with the nature of patience, like a seed in the snow. I've been buried to grow, for your promise is loyal from seed to sequoia.
Sawyer grew Calvary Sequoia.
That was a song titled Seasons off of Hillsong's Christmas album, and just wanted to do something a little different in this last half hour prior to share. Starting tomorrow, I'd love to hear from you. You're a little quiet today. So, Tom Fargo, where are you when I need you, right? These are my two questions for you. What did the Lord teach you this past year? And what would a Christmas miracle look like for you? Those are good questions, don't you think? 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. I think we'll pause here and take a short break. We've got a call coming in, but I want to hear from you. What did you learn? What did the Lord teach you this last year? I mean, how would you define maybe life lessons you've taken from this year? And what would a Christmas miracle look like for you? Don't go away. We'll be back in a bit. Thanks for tuning in today. Susie Larson here. This is Live the Promise. And for this last half hour of the show, just wanted to dedicate some time to hear from you. Our winter share starts tomorrow. Just want to know what life's like been for you this past year. I mean, what has the Lord taught you this last year? And then what would a Christmas miracle look like for you? Love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. And Carolyn from Florida is the first one to call. So I want to send her a book of some kind just to thank her for coming through for me. Hey, Carolyn, you're on the air.
Hi, Susie.
Hey.
Love your show. And for me, the Lord really told me to trust and trust where I'm being led, even when it doesn't make sense.
Love that.
So I've had one of those kind of rocky years, you know, and I get better and better about trusting what he says. And it's amazing how if you just listen and you just let go, he'll tell you, okay, and this is what I want you to do. And it's just that trust.
Yeah.
And as far as a Christmas miracle for me, to be able to buy a piece of property that we have for our ministry to help chronic homeless adults and vets to have some better housing in the county of Volusia.
Wow. Can I pray for that miracle for you?
Yes, you can.
Father, thank you for Carolyn. Thank you, Jesus, for how patiently you guide and guard us and teach us. Thank you that you're teaching her trust. And I always believe that when you lead us to places of deeper trust, it's because you intend to entrust more to us. You get us ready so that you can entrust more to us. And so help her. Pray for just a gift of faith that she would trust you in ways she's never trusted you before. And it would manifest in a calm heart and just a peaceful heart. And I pray for that Christmas miracle that you would bring provision, supernatural, absolutely amazing provision to purchase this property, to increase their ministry to homeless and to vets. And thank you, God, that that is your heart. So I know, I've heard it said, where it's your will, it's your bill. So I just thank you, God, that you will provide all that they need. And we say thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Carolyn. And if you can give Joe your address, I want to send you a book off of our Faith Radio shelf, okay?
Thank you so much, and God bless, and have a Merry Christmas.
And to you as well, my dear. Bless you. All right, Carissa's checking in from Denver. Hey, Carissa.
Hey, Susie. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, you're so sweet to call. I know it's been a rough year for you, so what has the Lord taught you in this time?
I think he's teaching me and taught me a lot more than I even realized in the moment. Like, I haven't been able to process it all, but what was coming to my mind was just how I get into so many situations where I feel like this is it and, like, the waves are just going to pull me under. And it feels like that. And over again, he continues to pull me back up. And I may not have had that, like, great breakthrough like you were talking about or the deliverance that I was really looking for, but I feel like he shows me that he gives me countless little mini deliverances, and that's always faithful. He continues to do that. And so that helps me in the times when I'm doubting it again, which is very often. And I've seen him teaching me that over this past year. And then also kind of what you were saying about doing the deep work, like that, all that stuff from like our past, he's teaching me that he's allowing things to come up for a reason so he can heal me more. And it's just part in the process.
Yeah, you know, it is so true, Krista, that the work of healing and even deliverance, of being delivered from, you know, he delivered me from all my fears. I cried out to the Lord in my distress, and he answered me by setting me free and delivered me from my fears. That work and that process is so much slower than we like it to be, you know, and I think so often because we're so addicted as a culture to instantaneous answers, but God is just not in that kind of hurry. And I don't, you know, I wish sometimes he was, but he's just not. But I look at, you know, what he's done in my life, and I know you would testify the same way. This long journey of these small breakthroughs are going to accumulate into a major breakthrough. So people who haven't seen you in a long time are going to see you and go, oh my goodness, he's done a deepening work. It's just that you've been living with yourself, so you don't maybe see the progress as much. But be encouraged, because I know you're pressing in, and that's just powerful. But tell me this, what would a Christmas miracle look like for you?
For me, that would be that I would be able to see myself through the way that God truly sees me. Mm. This Christmas, I want to really be able to see him.
That's beautiful.
See myself like he does.
Yeah.
That, and also just that family members would come to know Christ.
Mm. Well, Julie from Duluth, we're going to get your call in just a moment, but I want to pray for Carissa. Lord, I thank you for Carissa and her tender, precious heart, and I still pray for a massive breakthrough. I know that we've experienced some little breakthroughs that really accumulate to some pretty significant changes in our lives, and we thank you for that. But I do pray for a suddenly game-changer, tipping-point moment for Carissa that she just did not see coming. And I pray salvation would come to her family, to her household. I pray you'd heal her in every way she needs it, Lord, and that she'd get a fresh vision as this year wraps up for the next year, what you have for her, and that she'd experience an acceleration in the next year that she did not see coming as well. Thank you for her dear heart, and thank you for your work in her life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Man, thank you, Susie.
Thank you, dear. Appreciate you so much. Thanks for listening and for calling. All right, that's awesome. Krista from Denver. Now we've got Julie checking in from Duluth. I want to throw that number out there, 877-933-2484. So the questions are this: what has the Lord taught you this last year, and what would a Christmas miracle look like for you? Hey, Julie, thanks for holding, and thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. And so I feel like the Lord has it taught me so much this year, as far as I always have been a strong believer and a strong waiting and being patient. But it just so clear that he's saying, if you wait and if you're patient, and I feel like I finally realized that his word is so true.
Mm.
And I'm so thankful that I knew the patience. But I felt like it was a slow, you know, longing and waiting. And now he's just blessed me with every dream that I could have ever had. So I feel like now he said, you know, this is something that you've waited for, and he's got more. And I believe him, but yet I'm overwhelmed with his promises.
Oh, golly, Julie, that is so beautiful. And won't you say now, I mean, people need to be testifying from your position, because so many people are in the waiting room. But the times where I you know, he has said that to me, and I've waited, and it was way past my sensibilities, so to speak. But when the waiting season was over, I stepped into a favor that I could not have bought. I couldn't have, you know, generated. It was a God-given thing. It's just something about that waiting on his timing that what he not only brings the breakthrough, but he brings a favor to steward it. Have you noticed that as well?
Yes. And in Habakkuk, he says, you know, there's way more than I could ever have imagined. And it is, it's way more beautiful than I could have pictured and planned and bought and kept and stored. And it's 20,000 times more than what I thought.
That's so great. Someone needed to hear that today, Julie. And I mean, just because lots of people are in the waiting room, but he's not forgotten about them. And boy, what advice do you have for that person listening today who's in the waiting room?
I just feel like in the first year of marriage, my husband committed adultery.
Mm.
And at that point, I could have, easily just said, this isn't going to work out. But now 28 years later, the five children that we have is just remarkably blessing upon blessing. Mm. upon blessing. And all of the things, you know, I would have missed out on. These packages are just so huge.
So good. So what would a Christmas miracle look like for you?
A Christmas miracle would look like being able to pay it forward. And I think that trafficking is something, that sex trafficking that we just learned about is something, an area that I feel like I could really, really be able to just pay it forward. And I hope that God can bless me with working in that area.
Wow. And Duluth is a significant area for that. So I do pray God opens some doors for you. And wow, you sure encouraged my heart today, Julie. Thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
And to you as well. And one more here. Listener wrote in, said, this year I learned to go lower and continue to serve in love when I've continued to be maligned by spiritual leaders. My Christmas miracle would be the fulfillment of the vision given to me almost 6 years ago to see Christ Church hear and fulfill his call to embrace a falsely accused, imprisoned, godly Christian couple with love and prayers for the purpose of deliverance, healing, and for the honor of Christ's name on earth. Thank you for that, dear listener. I want to play a portion of Silent Night, and it's Hillsong version, so you'll hear the normal version, and then they break out into this chorus. That's just glorious. And when we come back from that, I'll wrap and pray. This has been a sweet time. Thanks so much for calling and checking in. We'll meet you back here next time.